Hello and welcome to the St. Ninian's Community Church Lent podcast. I'm Tom, and today we are looking at Matthew chapter 21, verses 12 to 17. Jesus at the temple. Jesus entered the temple courts and drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. "It is written," he said to them, "My house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers." The blind and the lame came to him at the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the teachers of the law saw the wonderful things he did, and the children shouting in the temple courts, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they were indignant. "Do you hear what these children are saying?" they asked him. "Yes," Jesus replied, "have you never read? From the lips of children and infants, you, Lord, have called forth your praise." And he left them and went out of the city to Bethany, where he spent the night. This takes place towards the end of Jesus' ministry, when he has no longer been able to suppress his fame and notoriety, and he has just had his triumphal entry into Jerusalem on a donkey. The Passover festival is soon, and so Jerusalem will have been heaving with people from all over Palestine and from further afield who have come to celebrate it in Jerusalem. Jesus has attracted attention with his impressive entrance to the city, and he continues to the temple to make another dramatic statement. The temple had a hierarchical layout of courtyards and halls of increasing holiness, starting with the outer courts and leading to the Holy of Holies, which was only entered by the high priest once a year. The outer court, where this story takes place, was the furthest a Gentile or unclean Israelite could go. It was to be their worship space, but had been taken over by traders who would exchange foreign money for Jewish money, which was more acceptable for offerings, and would sell doves and other animals for sacrifices. Their presence in the temple meant they could charge much higher rates than people would normally pay elsewhere. This system, presumably overseen by the priests, placed barriers on people being able to interact with and encounter God, both financially, by charging excessive prices, and physically, by obstructing the worship space that had been set aside for those who could not enter the inner courts. This area for Gentile believers and Israelites suffering diseases had become a marketplace. If challenged on this, I'm sure those involved would have defended their practices as actually providing a service to people coming to the temple by giving them access to clean offerings, and that they were simply protecting the holiness of God from people who were not suitable. They were simply facilitating a system laid out in the law of God. It is easy to lose perspective when we are involved in institutions or traditions of the full effects of how we are doing things. In trying to protect and uphold some virtues, we can miss the other damages being done, the other barriers being erected in front of others by the things we say and do. Jesus' actions in overturning the tables probably did not have a long-term effect on the business happening in the temple. He would have known that most were just going to continue once he left. This was a practical parable, along with his next actions, to explain his ministry to us and those who saw him. His next actions were to heal the blind and the lame, people who would have been prevented from entering the inner courts by their in health, and prevented from offering sacrifices by their poverty. Their encounter with Jesus removed the barriers of the old temple system and let them have a more direct encounter and interaction with God. This was a demonstration of what Jesus was about to do in the climax of his ministry. He had not come to refine the system of clean and unclean, or to teach the Israelites how to better judge whether they were good enough to encounter God, or to drive away the unbelievers who were preventing God's people from living in accordance with his laws. Instead, he had come to remove the barriers erected by human sinfulness and enable more people of all levels of holiness and of all nationalities to encounter him directly. We then see two contrasting reactions to Jesus, the children and the religious leaders. The children are able to correctly identify Jesus when they see his works and respond with joy and praise. The priests and teachers, on the other hand, are upset and offended. Despite the fact that they would have had much greater study of the prophecies of the Messiah, they cannot identify Jesus as easily as the children have. They are so blinkered by their adherence to the minutiae of their religious practices and concern for getting everything right that they miss the importance of what Jesus does here. They are, of course, also very invested in the current way of doing things, and so Jesus is a great threat to them. Ironically, their supposed holiness has held them back here from their encounter with Jesus. It is easy to find examples throughout church history where people have lost the greater perspective of God's love and desire for people to encounter him, where religious barriers have been erected which block or drive people away from God in the name of holiness and doing the right thing, and where the established interests of those with power are protected at the expense of the most vulnerable. And we can probably all find examples in our own life stories of this happening in big or small ways. Sometimes we will be on the inside, sometimes we will be on the outside. So let us be careful to keep that childish perspective on life, which can see Jesus' love at work and celebrate the ability of all people to encounter him in all areas of life. Let's be careful not to erect barriers to others in the way we worship God and pursue his holiness. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for your sacrifice, which removed our sinful barriers and allows us to approach you and encounter your love. Have mercy on us for the times we fail to share that love with those around us, when we lose perspective on your great plan to bring the joy and healing of your presence to all. Help us to see opportunities to remove barriers for others and ways to guide them closer to you. Help us to overcome the barriers that we find in our way and to live in your presence. In your name, amen.